contributing a couple of little episodes towards our senior citizens program. This little episode happened in the summer of 1954 when the raspberries were ripe. My late husband Frank, or Ike, as most people knew him, and myself, accompanied by our old friend Gladys Robertson, took off north in our panel truck, equipped with a Winnipeg couch, a bedroll, and a grub box to spend a night or so outside. Also took along my prized possession, a Kodak camera, given to me by my husband the year before we were married. We headed north of Fort St. John to the Beaten River area and found a perfect road for raspberry picking. Where the road had been built and dirt piled each side, raspberry bushes grew in this dirt, and the bears had made a perfect path for us to follow. We picked quite a few and had them for our lunch and supper. We camped near the Beaten River Bridge, where nearby was a picnic table. I took a few pictures, and on the same film I had taken two snaps of Ike's panel truck in town here, showing the print on the side of the panel as Ike's speedy delivery, Dawson Creek, B.C. And it's a good thing I did, as you will later find out. My camera took excellent pictures. The next morning, after a good sleep and pancake and bacon and campfire coffee breakfast, we picked lots of raspberries till noon, had our lunch, and then headed home for Dawson Creek. After delivering Gladys to her home and then unloading our van at home here, we realized my camera was missing, which upset me quite a bit. But knowing I had no identification on it, presumed I had just laid it down somewhere in the Beaten River vicinity. However, 5 years later, we received a long brown envelope in the mail addressed to Ike's Speedy Delivery, Dawson Creek. It came from the Alaska Highway News, Fort St. John, with the developed pictures out of my missing camera in it. I immediately phoned that office, but they knew nothing about my camera. But somehow, someone had put the film out of my camera in a drawer at the Alaska Highway News office, and they had developed it, thinking it was news pictures. And the only clue as to who they might belong to was the picture of Ike's van with Ike's Speedy Delivery, Dawson Creek, on it. If it had not been for that, we never would have known that much. So I guess someone out there, and I hope he or she hears my voice, still has a good old camera. This next little episode happened in Keynsham, near Bristol, England, where I was born. My brother Reg and I were the only two children in our family. Our grandparents on both sides lived in Gloucestershire, and Mum and Dad had gone to see them for 2 days, leaving Reg in charge. He was 14 and me 11. This was the year for slingshots, or catapults, as is called in England. Reg came from school and said he wished he had a catapult. And I said, I will make you one. I wore hats with elastic under my chin in those days, about 1918. So I made him one with a prong stick and elastic. A policeman lived two houses on one side of us, but he was farthest from our young minds, and naturally, Reg wanted to try this slingshot out right away. I picked up a handful of little rocks for him. Our backs were turned to the policeman's house. Reg was having a grand time shooting this down our paved road, and there was no one on the road. The first thing we knew, our neighbor policeman grabbed Reg by the back of the neck and told him not to do that in town anymore, and he confiscated the slingshot after all my work on it. We thought that's all there was to it. So we never mentioned it to Mom and Dad when they arrived home. A day later, our neighbor policeman knocked on the door and gave Mom a summons for Reg to appear in court. And now we had to tell her all about it. So she gave Reg the money to pay his fine and to go to court alone to teach him a lesson. The fine was 2 shillings and 6 pence. And believe me, we have never been on the wrong side of the law since. John.
Okay.
This is another episode. There was a rumor came into Haskins' store, Hoscoopy, in 1926 that old Black Joe was sick and had gone crazy, was robbing trap lines and shooting at anyone who came in sight. At that time, my Uncle Danny Cornick worked as forest ranger and knew all the country around. Sergeant W.A.S. Duncan and the government deputized my Uncle Danny and my former husband, Ike Higgins, who I was engaged to at the time, went with him to bring Black Joe in. They took a saddle horse and a pack horse each, and guns and a grub box. Old Black Joe was in the Lone Prairie region trapping. It took 2 days or so to get there. I can't remember for sure how long, as a lot of it was mostly trails in those days, and they had to ford a river. Losing a pack horse, one they had rented from the late Cap Lane of Doe River. Arriving at Black Joe's cabin, they were met by his dog. After taking off the grub box, gun, etc. from their horses, they tethered the horses before going into the shack, and they found Black Joe was dead. All they had to dig a grave was a frying pan and a small axe, but they did the job. Black Joe had been dead a few days from natural causes, as no signs of death otherwise was found. Later that evening, a bear came through the camp, and the horses broke loose, dragging their tethering ropes with them, leaving the men afoot. You can imagine the rumors that came back to me via Mogison Telegraph, that Black Joe was shooting at everyone, and Denny and Ike would probably never be back. However, they walked to Henshaw's in Henshaw Valley and had a good meal and found 2 of their horses and got back to Poose safely to make their report. After a certain lapse of time, Ike was paid by the government for his missing horse. A year later, we saw the same horse being driven around town hitched to a buggy. However, that was no concern of ours now, as we had got paid for it. And we were married that December.